You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Good morning, DCR.
The number one pick and a Super Bowl champ, but the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
I'm every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best, want you peep the score. Sports Center Reed, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And welcome. May the 24th, 2021. The show is, of course, DCR, leading you till 8 o'clock in KJZ this morning. I thought this morning was going to be kind of a coronation of the Knicks are back, and the Garden was as good as you've heard it in God knows how long, and they got a win, and all of it happened except the win. We'll get into it a lot today. Let's say good morning to the guys. Good morning, Chris Canty.
Good morning, Dave. Hope you guys are doing well. Rough sports weekend for me with my Lakers, but I'll take the Yankees sweep over the White Sox. So, I guess you got to look at it glass half full, but that had to be a tough loss for you guys to digest last night. That was a heartbreaker.
Heartbreaker. Good morning, Rick.
What did I tell you, Dave? We were going to need the couple days off. We were going to need it. Good thing we got a couple days to relax now after that. Because you're right. I mean, listen, the Knicks are back. They're in the playoffs. The Garden was crazy. Oh,
so good.
Was so good. And, I mean, you got into a game where right till the very end, you had a chance to win it. Trae Young makes a floater, which is, and he's one of the best in the NBA at doing it. And, you know, we sit here now, down a game, lose home court, but I don't think all is lost by any means.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just, here's how I take it. I'm just disappointed that happened. Because I thought they had a great opportunity to win that game. Even without your best player playing well, because he was bad last night, you still had a golden opportunity to win that game, and it got away late stages, and I feel a way about it. I'm upset about the Knicks' loss from last night. I'm not going to lie.
Well, Dave, the Knicks did exactly what we thought they had to do, right, which is slow the pace of that game down to a screeching halt. I mean, the first quarter score, I want to say it was 24-16. And through three quarters, it was 73-71. The Knicks taking a two-point lead into the fourth quarter. So from a pace standpoint, that's exactly what you were looking for. And you guys already touched on it, but Julius Randle did not have his A game. I think the Hawks did some creative things defensively, throwing some double teams at him, some different looks at him, and you know, kind of forcing other guys to beat you. And to the Knicks' credit, I mean, they found guys on that bench that were able to step up and contribute. Like, what you got from Emmanuel Quickley and Obi Toppin, there's not a Knicks fan out there that can say that they expected those guys to contribute the way that they did, especially in that second quarter. So, I mean, you did have that pleasant surprise, but the bench, like it's been all year long, it was a weapon for that Knicks team, and we thought that that could be the difference in them being able to beat out the Hawks in this series. It's just you need your starters to come to the party, and you know, when Julius Randle doesn't play well, it's tough for that group to get going.
Well, I think the bench can be a difference. And I mean, the bench was great. I mean, you had, you know, 64 points from your bench. Alec Burks was easily your best player.
My unsung hero.
No, unsung, yeah. I mean,
that's right.
Again, but he's the same guy that down the stretch was the one that was closing out games, right? So, I mean, a great pick by you. He was the unsung hero. He was awesome, especially in the fourth quarter. I mean, 18 points is crazy good, but I mean, the problem when you get into situations like this is you need in these moments for your best players to be your best players. And unfortunately for the Knicks last night, when Atlanta, especially down the stretch, needed their best player to be his best, Trae Young was, and Julius Randle was not. And someone needs to answer me the question, why the final possession, your best player, your hottest shooter, is the one that's inbounding the basketball?
Yeah, I don't understand. There were a couple things that puzzled me in the game last night. And, of course, the phone lines, especially after a game like that, 800-919-3776, wide open all morning long. I understand that you look at Nil Aquina as this elite defensive player, but I don't think it's fair to anyone, him, the team, anybody. You're going to put him in for like eight second stretches at a time to just shut down Trae Young, where I don't think he can do it to begin with.
No, I didn't think that was fair to him in that moment. I mean, you're sitting on the bench all game. He played. I mean, he had no burn the entire game, and I understand why you did it. And of course, I mean, Trae Young turns him into a pretzel, gets to his right, and makes his floater, which is, I mean, that's kind of what Trae Young does. But I mean, it's something the Knicks gonna have to figure out, because I mean, Derrick Rose, you saw how quickly he got into that game last night. Like, Elfrid Payton at this point is
unplayable.
Yeah,
he's unplayable.
But what do you do?
Nothing. I mean, a quick hook. I mean, that's the thing, though. But Derrick Rose can't defend Trae Young. Derrick Rose cannot defend Trae Young.
He can't defend Trae Young, and you can't play him this many minutes every single game. You just can't.
Well, I think they got to get Nil Aquina involved earlier in the games. I don't know if that means they start Nil Aquina, but they got to figure out something, because Elfrid Payton is just not enough in terms of a threat offensively in order to merit playing him significant minutes. So I think that you got to get Frank involved somehow, some way earlier in that game. And I think he is a good defender. And to your point, Rick, I think it was a really tough spot that Tibbs put him in at the end of that game. But at the same time, like, he had help. Taj Gibson was coming to double Trae Young. You just can't let him beat you to his right, your left. Like, that was your one job. You can't let him do that. You had help in the middle of the court. You got to force him to go to his offhand. And the fact that he didn't do that in that situation, like, that's tough to give him a pass on that one, because you're talking about a game-deciding situation. But that being said, I just think from the jump, even with that last sequence, it was just some tough breaks for the Knicks, man. I mean, you're a Bogdanovich corner three away from being able to win that game. I mean, think about it, if R.J. Barrett comes up with that loose ball, or if they don't call that foul on R.J. Barrett when Trae Young goes for that little bank shot. Like, I mean, those sequences could have completely changed this final stretch of that game, and the fact that those plays didn't go your way, it's a tough break. And that's what leads me to believe that, I mean, this Knicks team, they still have a really good chance of being able to win this series, even though they gave away home court advantage. The sky is not falling by any stretch of the imagination.
But that's the difference, though, what you just said. It's because it's on their home floor. And I think everyone realizes how closely contested this series is going to be. So to give away the first one on the home floor is what kills you right now. I mean, had this been the exact same result and this series starts up in Atlanta, you're not blinking twice.
No, you just lost home court that you worked so hard down the stretch to get.
So hard. And I mean, there are a couple different things, too. I mean, at the end of the third quarter, I mean, you're an R.J. Barrett three away from taking a 10-point lead. Then all of a sudden you blink.
Then you're up two.
Atlanta has that 2-for-1. And Tony Snell
buries
that three.
Yeah, Lemon Pepper starts cooking. Randall with a bad turnover. And all of a sudden now you only got a 2-point lead. So, I mean, there are a bunch of different things you can point to. I mean, losing Nerlens Noel down the stretch, that hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of a sudden, Trae Young's getting the free throw line at 10. He didn't get his first free throw till 6:43 left in the game.
And now he's going there every other possession.
Yeah, now he's got 9 free throws down the stretch. Come on, man. I mean, you're calling the game a certain way. Finish the game that way. Reggie Bullock didn't make a three last night.
He was not good last night.
He was not good.
Nope.
And he's one of your better defenders.
It looked like at the beginning of that game that the moment was too big for him. I'm not saying it will be for the entire series, but like, first playoff game, that it looked it last night for the Knicks.
But I told you this on Friday. This is the one detriment. I used to have these conversations with Alan all the time when we do the show about home court, home field. And I said, for a team that lacks experience, starting off at home is sometimes to your detriment. Because especially in a building like that, when you go from nothing, right, to all of a sudden you had some, you got a taste of it, to now 15,000, the way MSG was, like, emotionally, that's not easy to deal with. And I thought you saw that in the first quarter of that game last night. Offensively, they were terrible. The Knicks were terrible in the first quarter.
I mean, threes were hitting the backboard. Terrible. They were offensively challenged last night in the first quarter.
It was a struggle. I mean, even look at the Nets. Look what the Nets did in the first quarter of that game.
Mm-hmm.
The Nets struggled offensively, too. Yeah. I mean, that's a real thing.
But they got it going in the third quarter.
Yeah,
though.
I don't think you have to worry about the Nets.
Yeah, the big three decided to turn it on.
They will be fine. All right, let's hear from the different players. Let's hear from Tom Thibodeau and Julius Randle and R.J. Barrett discussing his first ever and their first playoff game at home in years and years and years. Here is R.J. Barrett on his first MSG playoff experience.
Yeah, man, it's crazy. Every single, possession matters. Everything, you got to give it your all the time. A lot of fun. Played hard. I know I played my ass off. And like I said, long series ago, so. Going to need the fans, going to need, the energy, and we'll bounce back.
Well, the one thing I can tell you not to worry about is the energy of the fans. You're going to have that every single minute that they're on the floor. That was some dunk from him last night, huh?
Yeah, it was a great dunk.
Yeah, huge momentum swing in that third quarter. And I thought that that was something that they could kind of ride. But, I mean, again, the Hawks, that's a feisty bunch, man. They just didn't go away. And the end of that third quarter kept the Knicks from being able to build a lead that I feel like, you know, could have caused the Hawks some problems once we got in the fourth. I mean, if you push that to an 8-point lead or a 10-point mm-hmm. lead, I think you're talking about a completely different ball game. But the fact that they were able to have that 2-for-1 at the end of the third, I mean, that changes things. You go into the fourth quarter only being down a bucket with Trae Young, I mean, who was playing like the best player on the court yesterday. I mean, that's going to be tough. And one of the biggest questions that we had coming into this series were how the Knicks were going to handle Trae Young with pick and roll, especially in, you know, game deciding situations. And the Knicks were committed to fighting through the screens, going over the top, and Trae Young was able to get downhill as a result and become a playmaker, whether it was him finishing at the rim or him kicking it out to guys on the corners. And the Knicks really didn't have an answer for that. And it showed at the end of that game. So I think that Tibbs and those guys are going to have to go back to the lab and figure out what the best approach is in terms of trying to slow that down, because you're only going to see more of that from Nate McMillan and the Hawks. They're only going to continue to stay with that pick and roll. I don't know that they could do it any more than they did it yesterday, but they've got to have an answer for that by Wednesday when they tip off game two.
Someone in that starting five has to step up too. It has to. I mean, you had Capella shadowing Randall. I mean, they're throwing doubles at him, you know, and especially in those moments, sometimes he doesn't make the best decisions, especially if he doesn't trust the guys he's passing the ball to. But, I mean, when your starters combine for, I mean, it's
41 points?
No, they had 16 points in the first half. I mean, mm-hmm. That can't happen. Like, I know R.J. Barrett said he played his ass off, and he did, and there was that one stretch you talk about where he hits the three, and then he has that, you know, he has the dunk, and then you had that, you know, couple offensive rebounds, he gets the tip in. Like, all that stuff is great. But still, I mean, you can't keep doing this, like, where I'm going to have a really slow start and all of a sudden I'll kind of come back to life in the second half. Like, everyone needs to, from the opening tip, have their best. And last night the Knicks did not.
Yep. It is still a best of seven, and here's Derrick Rose telling us, don't worry, this is a long series, a big best of seven here.
It's not a one-game elimination. We're not planning a play-in game or anything like that. It's the best of four in a seven-game series. So they won the first one. They came in and did what they were supposed to do. We got to win this next one and go back there. Take every game, one game at a time. Don't look ahead. Just stay focused.
You better win on Wednesday. Because if they lose the game on Wednesday, you're going to hear a despondent Rothenberg on Thursday morning. So they better win this game on Wednesday night.
No, they have to. Well, better. They have to. If you want this to be a series, they have to. They can't lose game two, because then all of a sudden you go into Atlanta. Yeah, I mean, even if you split in Atlanta, you're still coming home down 3-1.
You're down 3-1, and you have to win three in a row? No. You cannot afford to. Listen, could you afford to lose game one? You don't love it. You don't love the way it happened. I think you could afford it. You cannot afford to lose game two.
I wouldn't be surprised to see more quickly, too, in game two. Mm-hmm. It didn't look like the moment phased him at all.
Mm-mm.
At all.
You know what I'm worried about with quickly, though, Rico, is them playing him without Derrick Rose on the court. Like that I just feel like there's a certain comfort level with IQ when he has D Rose on the court with him. Like they just do a great job of playing off each other, complimenting one another, and I don't know if I would want to split that up. You know what I'm saying? Like I know that you're probably going to have to get some minutes from IQ without Rose being on the court, but to me I just feel like there's a calming force with Derrick Rose on the court with that second unit, and that just frees those guys up to be at their best. And that's what we saw in that second quarter. I mean, the Knicks bench scored 28 of the 34 points in that second quarter. I mean, they got them back in the game. Like, to me, like, that's a huge weapon. I mean, they accounted for 65 points last night. Like, I mean, that's something that I think the Knicks are going to be able to hang their hat on. And so that's why I'm looking at it through an optimistic lens, because I see the formula for this Knicks team to be able to win games, and they weren't far off last night. They really weren't. Again, if they can play at that kind of tempo, that favors the Knicks. I mean, Julius Randle's just got to be better. He's going to have to knock down some of those looks that he had last night.
Well, which he usually does. I mean, we've seen it the entire year. When he has a game where he struggles, it seems like the next game he bounces back and has a big night, right? So let's kind of pencil him in for having offensively a big night. What concerns me the most, though, is that all we talked about is, you know, Knicks having all this time off. It's like Belichick having this time, or Andy Reid after a bye, that Thibs is going to get in the lab and he's going to have this game plan to shut down Trae Young. And there was a couple things that he shut down. I mean, Trae Young had what? He took three threes the entire game, barely got to the free throw line.
Yeah,
because
they were fighting through those. They were fighting through those picks. They weren't going to go under those and allow Trae Young to have good looks at the basket from deep. They weren't going
to
do that.
Which maybe they have to consider because I mean, once he got in the paint, it was night night.
Oh yeah, oh yeah,
it was
oh,
night night. So I mean, if you couldn't come up with a plan with all that time off, how confident are you that all of a sudden now over a couple days that's going to change?
Well, I mean, it's a 2-point ball game, and Julius Randle had 15 points, where he was averaging 37 against the Hawks in their three games this year. So,
and
I mean, I think you can point to that and say, if that one thing changes, then the outcome of that game probably changes. Now, I'm not saying that you don't have some tweaks in terms of how you're going to attack Trae Young, Rico. I think you're absolutely right. And I think some of that includes just denying him the ball, like just not letting him get the ball, especially in those end-of-quarter, end-of-half type of situations. Like, I wonder what would have happened last night if they just pull Alec Burks off the inbounds and just don't let Trae Young get the ball. I don't know. I mean, you can play the hypothetical game, but I think that Tibbs will have some things, some curveballs to kind of throw at the Hawks offense to try to throw them off a little bit. But, I mean, I think the biggest thing is Julius Randle being able to get going in that starting lineup, being able to give you more production on the offensive side of the court. If that happens, then I don't know that you have to make any major adjustments to your defense.
Yeah, he's got to be better. He has to be better moving forward on the offensive end. He was bad. You could argue, really, that was the worst game you've seen the entire season from Julius Randle.
Yeah, I don't think it's an argument.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with you.
That was the worst version of Julius Randle, so hopefully he's better moving forward.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
So why would somebody tweet, please don't ignore how bad Randle was? We just discussed that and said
how bad
he was.
He probably just turned the radio on. And now that you've addressed it for the second time, we can move forward.
I mean,
but at a certain point, I mean, you can talk about the shots he's taken. Julius Randle also realizes, like, he's got to get himself going.
Yes.
I mean, that's part of it. And then when you turn around and everyone around you can't hit a shot, like, the starting five offensively in the first half
terrible.
Of the game
was
terrible.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah. But, Rico, I mean, that's probably one of the things that you worry about. Like, how is a player going to react in his first action in the playoffs, especially Julius Randle, because you recognize how important he is to that team. I mean, he understands that he's got to get going. The entire team refers to him as the engine in every interview that they've done throughout the course of this season. So he gets it, and he probably put a little too much pressure on himself coming into game one to perform. Like, he talked about it post-game last night, how he might have put too much work in terms of trying to get ready for this game. So you hope that he settles down and gets into the flow of this series and just plays his game.
Here is Julius Randle after the game last night. Says even though he lost, no excuses anyway about the series.
Listen, I'm not making no excuses. I got to be better. I will be better. I'll just leave it at that.
All right. Were you too unselfish, Julius?
Maybe. Maybe it's probably a couple opportunities or looks that I had that I might have passed up. But, I got a game, got to fill it out a little bit, and I'll adjust.
I don't worry about him. Of all the things I worry about in this series, he would be the last thing from the Knicks.
Well, just think about it, too. I mean, Chris just mentioned it. And people, I just want to let people know that, and Chris can speak to this because, I mean, he's mentioned it numerous times on his run to the Super Bowl. Like, the intensity, the nerves, the anxiety from week to week, from, you know, preseason to regular season, all of a sudden first playoff game to second playoff game to, you know, to NFC championship game, every step of the way, it ratchets itself up and it's real. It's not just like something that's just easily, you know, brushed aside or dealt with. And this is his first experience at MSG, knowing that he's going to be the focal point of Atlanta's defense. And they got all this time. Just think about how much time they had off leading into this first playoff game.
Yep.
Yeah, they had a full week.
Just to think about it every single day.
Just putting
in work every single day. And then you get out there, the place is crazy, and you start off slow, and you could tell, like, all the things that we've seen him do this year, like all his spots. Like, I always look to that one shot, and it's not an easy shot, but it's one of his favorite shots, is when he gets to that right side, that mid-range, like at that logo,
mm-hmm.
and he does his fadeaway jumper.
Mm-hmm.
When he's not making that, it's like, uh-oh.
Yeah,
like he's just, this is going to be a rough one.
Yep, that's the, oh, no, 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 no. Yes, good shot.
Exactly.
Yeah, from Julius Randle. Yep.
I mean, even go back to but Dave, go back to that last Rose floater to tie it up. I mean, Julius Randle launches an air ball.
Yeah, that was bad. Shot. That was a bad shot.
He was bad. Listen, he was bad last night. There's no defending him. 800-919-3776. All right, let's get to these calls. I know Knicks fans want to chime in. Now, before we get there, Rick, you, I guess it's fair to say, had an ultimatum for one of our big-time callers on the show.
Yeah, ultimatum. If he doesn't call today, he's...
Well, call him out by name.
Well, I think you should, because he's your guy. I mean, you're the one that lets him just talk and talk and talk.
Last time I interrupted him, you yelled at me for interrupting him.
No, time out. Yeah. No, yes. It was not. No,
yes.
No, it wasn't the last time he called. I think it might have been the time before that, Dave. I know what you're talking about.
Because he went on forever, and I was like, Omar, listen.
The last time
you
tried to interrupt him, and he wouldn't let you interrupt him.
Oh, right. Well, it's not easy. he likes to just go on forever. But you were laying down the gauntlet for Omar. You said if he doesn't call today... I believe you said he's banned indefinitely until you decide that he's welcome back.
You never win!
For at least the series. Like, you know, I mean, he doesn't all of a sudden get to call in now. Like, if he doesn't call today and show up, then...
But you don't know what he has.
I don't care what he has.
He's got multiple jobs. He's got, like, 9 kids. You don't know what he has going on this morning.
No, but we've already told him, Dave. This is like, he knows this. Like, this isn't one of those ones where, you know, all of a sudden, you just end up on the bench and the coach never tells you why. We told him. We needed him after Buffalo.
Never walks out!
Did he call after the Bills lost?
Nope.
When we needed him.
Didn't hear from him.
And I said, where were you, Omar? That's when we need you. You're at your best. So he knows he needs to call him today. He needs to show up and answer the bell. He has to.
So if he doesn't call today, the series?
I'm giving him, that's just me, but what? This is a three-man show. I would suspend
Let's
him.
Let's go, Bills!
I would support the Omar ban.
Well, then I can't get in the way of that. I mean, if the two of you believe that. But that
Here
that
comes my New York Knicks soon!
Wow.
We can play drops Omar at a minimum. All right, let's go to O'Day in the Bronx. Good morning, O'Day. O'Day?
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, am I on? Hello?
You're on the air.
Yes, hi. Good morning. How are you guys?
We're doing great, O'Day. What's up?
No, we're not doing great. Don't lie to the man.
Wait, hold on a second. Hold on. First of all, I need to congratulate you guys on your 100th episode from Friday. And I need to tell you that we are diehard fans, but Lonnie needs to take a step back because I did get a ticket on Friday for waiting, anticipating the phone call while I was driving. Just a heads up, that is not the best idea, and we should abide by the law because I was just standing there and all of a sudden the lights came on and I got pulled over. So I apologize for dropping the call on Friday, gentlemen. My name is O'Day, and yes, my sister actually is married to one of O'Day Abushi's cousins. We're actually both from Palestine. He's Palestinian. I'm Palestinian. So just to lay that out for you guys, because I know there was a large debate on Friday about what my name is and if there were any other O'Days out there.
I love that connection.
I like it.
And as far as you guys are concerned, I just want to really let you guys know that this 5-8 slot, it personally changed me for the better. I was going through a really rough patch in my life, and I got a new job that requires me to be on the road by 5 a.m., and I was really, like, down on life and everything, and this show really helped, like, stabilize my mentality, and I'm really, it just gets my mood started in the morning, and it helps me, like, get through the day. So for that, gentlemen, I want you guys to know that your show goes way beyond just sports.
Wow.
And it does actually affect people's lives.
Well, thank you. We're like the Tony Robbins of sports talk.
You're
radio.
Welcome.
We're here to help. All right, what do you got, O'Day? Oh, that's it. Now he's gone? You hung up on him, Santi?
My fault. I thought he was done. Call back.
My fault.
Okay, Porto, that's my bad. That's my bad.
It was a great call.
Give him the opportunity to talk about the Knicks.
You know what? I thought he wanted to end it on a high note. That's totally on me. I'll take full responsibility for that. It's all my fault.
So you figured at that point the only place that the call could go was downhill from there. That was it.
Wouldn't you agree?
You hung up on him.
Listen, you got so much of like the insight. I feel bad about him being pulled over. I feel terrible about that. I hope that doesn't happen to him ever again. I thought it was all positive vibes. So, again, totally my fault. I take full responsibility for that.
You see, the call screener says he wants to talk about the Knicks, so we got all the pleasantries out of the way, who he is,
listen,
what happened
there was,
Friday,
there was
how
a lot of
his life.
There was a lot of pleasantries.
That would be a nice giveaway, though. I mean, just to go, on the heels of that call, O'Day waiting on hold, getting a ticket because he had his hand and his phone in his hands. A little DCR, like AirPods giveaway.
Well, that would be nice.
I like that. I like where your head's at, Rico.
Hands-free.
Yeah.
Kind of like that a little bit.
But where are we going to get those from?
That's why. Yeah, in theory, we have a sales department. But again, that's just me spitballing here.
I like that idea, Rico.
The idea is great. Now, putting it in practice could be the real issue.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
How upset are you from that game last night? Are you really upset? Is it like I'm going to be honest with you. Today is not an easy show for me to do. And I'm not saying that they're done, and I'm not saying that they're in trouble. I'm just saying that I had these moments last night of how great the show was going to be because they won the game, and I really thought they were going to win, and then they didn't, and that makes it difficult this morning.
Yeah, I'm disappointed.
Yeah.
But, I mean, again, it's a 7-game series. At some point, they're going to lose. But, again, game one at home after fighting the entire season to get home court with the building the way it was, today would have been, I mean, had they pulled that off, you're right. I mean, the show would have been completely different, but unfortunately it's not. And as a show, we gotta do our best. I'm 3 cups of coffee deep, so I mean, I'm caffeinated at least.
Oh, you're wired, you're ready to roll. Oof.
But I told you, I said on Friday, in the words of Ricky Rose in Sexual White Chocolate, you gotta believe in the Knicks in the future.
Future, I believe in. It's the present that has me a little bit concerned.
Well, by future, I mean Wednesday. I mean, Wednesday, game two.
Okay, I got you. I believe in that. I do. I think they're going to win on Wednesday. Let's see if we can not hang up on him and bring him back. And he, of course, is O'Day in the Bronx. Sorry about that, O'Day. It's Santiago.
Hello. Good morning, gentlemen. Again, can you guys hear me?
We hear you loud.
Of course, O'Day.
Got you, O'Day.
Sound great.
Yeah, so Uncle Rico, I want those free AirPods, by the way, because this is getting ridiculous. I'm going to end up getting another ticket just trying to talk to you, gentlemen.
Well, just put the phone on speaker next to you.
Yeah, put the phone on speaker. Right, put it on the seat next to you and talk to us.
I pulled over. I stepped out the car so that there's no issue. So, first of all, Dave Rothenberg, you, my man, are exceptionally well at what you do. And your pulse for the Knicks is usually how I end up spending my next few days waiting for them to play again. So I just want your deepest thoughts about how you felt after that loss last night and where we should be as Knicks fans, as far as game two is concerned. Uncle Rico, your jokes are hilarious. Continue being yourself. Don't change for anybody. And Canty, congratulations on the engagement, and thank you for the Super Bowl. And gentlemen, like I said, I love your show. You guys changed me for the better, and keep up the good work. And this is the end of my call.
Thank you. Changed him for the better. We're changing lives one at a time. My take on my reaction, I'm heartbroken. I'm going to be honest with you. I really am. I thought, for me, and Canty, you mentioned it in passing earlier, the Bogdanovich 3 to tie it at, I think it was 103 with under a minute to go.
Mm-hmm.
That was the play that I was like, oh, God. Because that was R.J. Barrett almost had it, and he hits this really difficult three-pointer. That, to me, was the moment like, oh, God. But I'm very upset. I'm not saying they can't rebound. I'm just saying now I have to wait till Wednesday. Come Wednesday night, I'm going to be really, really anxious, really concerned, and really worried.
Let's see, to me, Dave, those are the plays that all season long have usually gone the Knicks' way. I mean, it was really good defense on Trae Young. He had nowhere to go, and he left his feet to pass the basketball, which is something that they teach you not to do in middle school, let alone in the NBA. But there was nowhere for him to pass the ball to, and he's under the basket. So as a Knicks fan, you got what you wanted in that sequence. And just so happens that even though you got a deflection, you got hands on the basketball, it ends up in Bogdanovich's hands, and he just nails a three-pointer. Like, to me, that was the turning point. That was the difference in that game. If he doesn't make that shot, you got the ball less than a minute to go and up by three.
Yep.
I mean, again, the complexion of the final minute is completely different. But, I mean, you got to think that those breaks aren't going to go against the Knicks the entire series, and you got to think that Julius Randle is going to be a lot better in game two than he was in game one.
And Alec Burks had a great look, too. I mean, once they tied it up, he had a great look.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. He had a good look, yeah.
Really good look. They would have made it 105-103. But, I mean, let me take the positive side of this is that you lost on a last-second floater from Trae Young by 2 points. And Julius Randle and Reggie Bullock could not have been worse.
You could not be more right. And rationally, I understand that. But irrationally, no, and I don't even think it's irrational. Like, I'm upset with the loss last night. I thought they were going to get it. I thought they had this game. I thought they played well enough to win this game. They were up by three with under a minute to go, and the guy hits a crazy shot, and then they lose on a floater by Trae Young. So I think I can feel both ways. I can feel upset and heartbroken at the loss and still optimistic about the remainder of the series.
No, I don't disagree with you. I'm just saying, like, in all honesty, if you would have told me before this game happened, not having watched it, that, you know, what Trae Young would do, just to, if you just gave me the stats, like Trae Young would be this and Julius Randle would be that, I would say there's no chance the Knicks win this game. Like, if Julius Randle struggled the way that he struggled, there was no chance that the Knicks could win that game. And yet, because Alec Burks was great, the bench was great. I mean, you're right there till the very end. And a handful of different plays, the foul on R.J. Barrett that was questionable, the three you're talking about by, you know, the laziest name in the history of professional sports.
Do you know what I... So,
and then I got Dick Dastardly walking around. It's quiet. I want to punch him in his face. Trae Young.
I can't stand
God, he's the weirdest
looking
guy I've ever
seen. So I don't know if you guys do this. Every time one of my teams goes up against someone else, I find like a venom for the other team. And I couldn't pick Bogdan Bogdanovic out of a lineup. And last time, I'm like, I can't stand you. I hate you. And every time he makes a big shot now, I'm like, well, what a lazy name. I mean, your parents, they have no creativity at all in my mind. It's your fault, Rick. You've pushed me to be that person.
I was doing the exact same thing. Every single thing. Like, I'm verbally, by myself, I'm verbally berating Trae Young. Bogdan, same thing. Gallinari with that stupid haircut looks like a divot on his head.
How ridiculous is that, man, that mohawk? That
it looks like he went to a golf course and got a divot and then just plopped it right on his head.
That's a terrible look for him.
He shot awful, too. He was bad last night, too.
It's because of the haircut. It's got to be a haircut.
Yeah, that's a terrible-looking haircut. Awful. But
looks like Cable Chuck Liddell is what he looks like.
It's really, really bad.
Here is Trae Young. A couple of sound bites from him. Firstly, on the winning shot.
I mean, I got it tatted on me. I put always remember on me because I always remember everything. So I remember at the beginning of the game when they was yelling it throughout the game a couple of times. So as I hit the floater, it just felt like everybody got quiet. And I was waiting for them FU chance again. So I was excited.
What do you mean it felt like everyone got quiet? I mean, of course
everyone did get
quiet. You hit a shot with under a second to go to win the game for your team. It felt like everyone got quiet?
Because everyone did get quiet.
Yeah.
You sucked the life right out of the garden.
This is you wanting to hate Trae Young right now,
That's
Dave.
That's right.
Kind of reaction to that soundbite, this is you just hating on Trae Young.
I told you, I have an amazing ability to find hatred for guys that go up against my teams. It is one of my great qualities.
I hear you, and I'm not mad at you, but because I'm not a Knicks fan, it's easier for me to appreciate how good Trae Young is. Like, I mean, I know a lot of people see the splashy plays, the deep threes, and they're like, oh, all right, this is a flash guy. But Trae Young is a really good basketball player with a really good basketball IQ, and you saw it on display last night because, I mean, with that pick and roll, the Knicks just had a hard time trying to defend it, and Trae Young seemed to make the right play every single time. So, I mean, he's a really good player. He's a perennial all-star. Like, this is a really good point guard, and we keep talking about today's game in the most important position being the point guard spot. So on a night where Julius Randle doesn't have his A game, it's not a surprise that you saw Trae Young take over and dominate that game. I mean, 7 points in the final 2 minutes of that game. Like, he was able to be the Hawks' closer. And the Knicks really just don't have that guy right now. I mean, Derrick Rose has been that guy at some points this season. Alec Burks, same thing. But the Knicks don't consistently have a guy that they can just get the ball to in the final couple of minutes of a ball game and let him close out the game. They don't.
Nope. Doesn't exist. Let's go with two more of your calls. Harry and Comac. Good morning, Harry. You're on 98.7.
Good morning. So I'm not saying I totally believe Tibbs unequivocally is the coach of the year. But what do you think about subbing in Frankie with 30 seconds left to get his ankle snatched and drives right to the basket for the win? The guy's been sitting cold the entire game, physically, mentally. I'm not quite sure that was the right play there. I know Trae Young gets his, but I don't know that we're putting ourselves in the position to be successful there.
I think in theory it sounds like the right play because Frank has historically been good as far as defending Trae Young. I just think in that moment, having sat on the bench the entire game and all of a sudden now being asked to come out and get a stop is probably not fair to Frank.
But you got one job.
That's so much easier
just
said than done.
Just force him to go to his left. Force Trae Young to go to his left. Force him. Just make him do that. If he beats you to his left and Taj Gibson doesn't step up, okay, cool. We can live with that. But don't let him go to his dominant hand. Don't let him do that.
No, I know what you're saying, and you're right. Like, you go out there with the mindset, if he beats me going to his left, he beats me going to his left. But I just think in that moment, it's much easier to say than it is to do.
I agree with you. I agree with you on
like
that.
If you like Chris in football, like if all of a sudden you've been sitting on the bench the entire game, you're a corner, and they're like, okay, I need you for this last play. I need you to cover, you know, whoever the wide receiver is. I need DeAndre Hopkins. Just don't let him get to the middle of the field.
Right.
Okay,
don't let
no
him
problem.
Get deep.
Yeah, exactly right.
Right.
Yeah, we see that all the time. How do you let him go deep? Well, I try. I mean, my goal was not to let him go deep.
He's the best for a reason. He's the best for a reason. Here is Tom Thibodeau. Could you have done anything more on that last possession against Trae Young?
He's a great player. We'll take a look at the film. You know, you're not going to be able to stay with a steady diet of anything. So, obviously, we have to do a better job.
I think
yeah, but there really was no diet, though. That's the point. They did a good job keeping him off the free throw line for most of the game until later on in the fourth quarter. He only made 1-3 the entire game. But, I mean, the one thing we kept saying before the series, you had to find out how to probably not stop but at least limit, was the high pick and roll and him getting in the paint. And he did it whenever he wanted to. And because he's so good with the basketball, like I think that's the difference too. Why we always say point guard is so much more important than every other position, because if your point guard's your best player, he's usually really good at handling the basketball. So if you try to throw bodies at him, he can pass out of a double team and just pick you apart, which is kind of what I mean.
And they can shoot. They have a lot of guys that can shoot.
And I mean, they didn't even shoot great last night. I mean, in all honesty, they really didn't shoot well last night. For the game. I mean, they shot 35%.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It wasn't a great shooting night for the Hawks by any stretch.
But they have to find, and again, we can sit here and everyone's going to call in and pick on Frank and everything else, but there has to be a way, because Derrick Rose cannot guard Trae Young. He cannot do it.
Can I ask you guys this question? What's the downside to starting Frank Ntilikina? I mean, outside of him not being good offensively, what's the downside? I mean, he can't be worse than Elfrid Payton is offensively.
No, I know. You're
I think
right.
It was just I think that Thibs is a loyal guy. And I think the last thing he wanted to do, he rode with Elfrid Payton the entire season, was all of a sudden going into game one, give up on him.
Sure.
But I think that could change going into game two.
He looked horrible last night.
He lasted 4 minutes.
I mean, Elfrid Payton was awful last night.
Yeah, so I mean, now you got to adjust going into game two. And you got to be, I mean, you got to, I don't know, man. Like, make it more difficult. Be more physical with Trae Young. Like, beat him up a little bit. Right? I mean, that's again, Elfrid Payton.
I would love to see that.
Listen, Elfrid Payton offensively is no good, right? We all understand that. And right now, with where he's at, but there has to be a way to, and I don't know what it ends up being. Maybe it's, I don't know what the answer is. I mean, that's again, their job, not mine.
I think this is the problem. I'm not sure there is an answer, to be honest with you, right now with the pieces that they have. Let's go to Lonnie in Harlem. Lonnie, good morning. You're next up on 98.7.
Good morning, family. Dave, sorry to hear about your getting pulled over, but I hear what you're saying. I'm home today, so I'm in the clear of being pulled over and given a ticket. Okay, Cousin Dave, how much time do I have? Because like Uncle Rico, I care about clock integrity.
You have 4 minutes and 44 seconds, and you can tease what's coming up in the 6 o'clock hour if you go really long.
All right, cool. No problem. What a game last night. The result was not what we wanted, of course. The Garden was on fire. I mean, I had my TV so loud. It's so good to actually watch a playoff game, a Knicks playoff game like that. Just wish we got the win. The Knicks starters only scored 41, and Trae Young himself scored 32. That's not good at all. That pick and roll was making me, making my head spin. Tommy T has to come up with something that's going to slow that down a little bit more. I got an Canty. How about our boys in pinstripes? First no hitter against the Rangers, then the triple play, and then the shutout. Metro boomed. I'm sorry, the White Sox. Also, Uncle Rico, what a game on Saturday! I was locked in. Islanders played great, but what's
you're really going to take the whole thing here, aren't you?
Oh yeah,
you're going to take this right down to the nub, aren't you?
Dave, I'm almost done. Dave, I'm almost done. Relax. Hold on. Calm down. Uncle Rico, what about on Saturday? I was locked in. The Islanders played great. But what's up with Barjot? He has to take those shots, because if you realize, I'm sure you do, two of the main goals they scored was all rebounds. Plus, I want to know how you felt about Zach Wilson and Gang Green being there. How excited was you about that? Family, I've done what I came to done, and you know I love you guys.
Thank you, Lonnie.
This is what happens. The Jets picked the right team, and Canty and Dave picked the wrong hockey team.
No, stop.
That's fine.
It.
Stop it.
It's fine. Crushing
beers.
You
will be singing that tune at some point.
Wilson crushing a water. He likes to take care of himself, take care of his body. That's leadership right there. I don't need to be shotgunning beers. I'll have a water.
It's smart.
Keep myself healthy. Although the crowd, I mean, if all of a sudden, I'm telling you what, if Wilson, though, with that handsome face, all of a sudden rips his shirt off and just starts like Taylor Lewan style. Did you see that animal at the Predators game?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Just stone cold and beers ripping his shirt off. He's got
how great is that?
Oh, it's unbelievable.
I don't think you're going to see that from Zach Wilson. And I don't think you'd want to see that from Zach Wilson.
No, you're right. In theory, it sounds good.
If he ripped his shirt off and started shotgunning beers, you'd be terrified. You would be so concerned about the future of your organization at this very moment.
Oh, my God.
Could you imagine the guy? What is he doing? You leave that to your offensive lineman, and you don't get in the way of any of that. Let's go to Derek in Staten Island. Good morning, Derek.
Yeah, how you doing?
What's going on, bud?
Good morning. You know, Alec Burks had a great game, and he's been very consistent ever since he came back even before he got injured. And you guys seen that, right? What is his future, by the way? Is he, do you see anything?
He's on a one-year deal. His future's going to be, I would imagine they're going to bring Alec Burks back.
Yeah, you have
you're
to
bring him back.
He's had a terrific season for them.
No, his future going forward, you see him as a starter.
No.
You see him as anything
No, he's not a starter.
I think he's great in the role that he has, Derek. I don't know that you really want to change that.
I mean, he is young, right?
No, he's not that young.
No, I don't think he's young.
Like define young. No, he's not that young. He's been in the league for a minute.
Yeah, I think he's like 30 years old.
He's exactly where he needs to be on this team.
Exactly. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Perfect role for him.
Perfect role for him. Even more than you expected, though. This is way more than I expected from Alec Burks.
Interesting call, though, isn't it? They lose 1-0, heartbreaking loss, and this guy's concerned about the future of Alec Burks with the Knicks?
Alec Burks will be 30 in July.
There you go.
Dude, I mean, the 18 points, I mean, but he's already shown you this, and I don't think
nobody expected this.
His ability to play the point and finish games. Man, just that one more shot last night.
I know.
He had that one good look, but
I know
you can't ask more for him.
Too. No, he was great. You need more from the other guys, but he was great. Jets fans, 98.7 ESPN is your chance to meet this is exciting. The 2021 Jets draft class presented by Pepsi. You're invited to an exclusive virtual event this Wednesday, May 26th at 5:00, featuring the Jets 2021 rookie draft class hosted by the radio voice of the Jets, Bob Wischusen, and Jets legend Bart Scott. Keep it locked into DCR, DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg for your chance to win next hour, all brought to you by 98.7 ESPN and presented by Pepsi. You should go on that call.
On which call?
On the Jets 2021 virtual draft class. Just
okay, so yeah, Wischusen's on the call and Bart's on the call.
Right.
So we just sit on the call, you mean?
Yeah, I think you should go on and just
and
listen. Take it in.
He's not going to have a chance to talk.
No, you won't have a chance to participate on the call. No. I wasn't saying talk on the call. I was just saying go on and listen to them talk.
Yeah, or I could just go to the Coliseum and hang with the Jets draft class.
Yeah, you could do that as well, because I think they'll probably
follow a real winner is what we do.
One more game at the Collie this year, and that'll be it. All right, 800-919-37. What?
You know what you just did.
So disrespectful.
You just wrote the Islanders off. You have them losing the series.
Well, it could happen, no?
But it shouldn't happen.
I wouldn't say that.
You got the Islanders doing you solid. You get an Islanders guest on your Fugazi hockey show.
Here we go. Fugazi hockey show.
You can't just support them a little bit? Just a little bit.
Not an Islanders fan.
Well, I'm not saying that. You don't have to root for them to win the cup. But isn't it better for your hockey show if they win a round at least?
No.
What do you mean no?
No.
What are you going to break down? What are you breaking?
The show goes away when they're done.
So you want the show to go away?
No, but I want the Islanders to lose.
But you can't. I mean, you can't do me one solid. Like at least you like the Penguins. Can't beat the Penguins.
No, I don't like the Penguins. Yeah, but no, I don't like playing that game.
Game.
Just let them win this round.
He just doesn't want good things for his crosstown rival, Rico. No. That's what it is. He doesn't want good things for you guys.
I don't like them, and I'm not going to pretend that. Let's just have them. I've done that stuff before. Well, let's just have this team win one round. All of a sudden, now they're in the Stanley Cup Finals. I'm not playing that game. I'm not playing that game. So no, I don't want them to win.
See, I don't like where your head's at now.
And that doesn't make me a bad guy.
But you're going
to
back me into a corner now.
You wouldn't want the Rangers to win.
No, but now you're going to back me into a corner now. What do you mean? I've said it before. I mean, when the Yankees were making runs, I said, I'd like to talk about baseball. I wouldn't mind watching the Yankees win a little bit as long as they don't win the World Series.
Yeah, but you never know when they're going to turn it off. And if they're, you know, rolling along, now all of a sudden you get yourself into a dire situation. It's bad.
Would you call this rolling along? Have you seen some of the teams? Have you seen Boston lately?
I understand.
Have you seen Tampa lately?
I'm not rooting for the Islanders to win a playoff series. And it has nothing to do with you. I don't like them. I've never liked them.
But now you're going to force me to not root like as hard as I've ever rooted against all your teams now. Like, I hope the Giants win two games.
That's not fair. I legitimately don't like the Islanders. You don't dislike the Giants.
Yeah, but I dislike you now. Ipso facto, I dislike the Giants.
Oh, here we go. Ipso facto. I'm bringing Latin into the mix here. No, root against the Rangers if you want. That makes sense. But don't root against the Giants. I've said nothing negative about the Jets.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.